الحمد لله المنشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفن بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, as per the command of my honorable, respectful Sheikh Arif Billah, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Adamallahu Fuyudahum, Hazrat says that before every talk, before every bayan, make muzakara, discuss one sunnah of Hazrat Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can become alive in the ummah again. And really, the sunnah is our life wire. The main distinguishing factor of this ummah is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And sunnah is extremely valuable also. It is narrated in a hadith, man ahya sunnati inda fasadi ummati, a person who will revive one sunnah of mine when fasad, when evil and moving away from deen will have become widespread in the ummah, a person who will revive one sunnah, فَلَهُ بِهَا أَجْرُ مِئَةِ شَهِيدٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Just for that one sunnah that is revived, that person will get the reward of 100 shaheeds. The reward of one shaheed is so great, and the reward of 100 shaheeds. And yeah, we should just analyze this a little bit. I'll give one example by which we can understand it. May Allah save us all, but if somebody loses something very valuable, and it has got lot of sentimental, emotional value to him also, something his mother left for him, something his father, his sheikh left for him, and he loses that, he will advertise it on the local radio, newspaper, shop, windows, masjid, boards. Anyone who finds this and returns it, I will give him a reward. So if the value of that thing, say, is 100,000 rand, what do you think, how much will he give as a reward? If the actual value is 100,000, the reward won't be 100,000. It will be a fraction, roughly about 5,000, 10,000, 15, at the most 20,000. So always the reward is one fraction, is a percentage of the actual value. So for one sunnah that is lost in the ummah, Allah loves that sunnah so much that a person who will return it to the ummah again, make it alive, his reward will be a fraction of the sunnah. And that is 100 shaheeds, the fraction. The percentage is 100 shaheeds. Ours is 10,000. Yeah, it's 100 shaheeds. So what is the value of a sunnah? The reward is always a percentage, a fraction of the actual value of that. So the sunnah, we cannot imagine what its value is. A person who will return to the ummah one sunnah, he will get the reward of 100 shaheeds. So may Allah Ta'ala make us of those who will revive the sunnah and make it common, teach it to our family people, our friends, as an imam to our community, as a sheikh to my following, as an alim to my students, as an ustad to my students. May we make the sunnahs become common in the ummah again. So one sunnah that comes to my mind, there are so many, but just to mention one, is that when we stand for namaz, we should try and stand in a straight saf. Yeah, I was so happy to read heels on the line, mashallah. Allah reward our sheikh, our imam for that. And mashallah, Maulana Raja, and yeah, it's a very common practice, which is a sunnah practice in the Cape, that the Imam will announce that stand on your lines, that Safu Sufu Fakum, make yourself straight. It is announced in the Haramain Sharifain, we hear this every namaz, every salah, the Imams will announce. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his practice was, before the Iqama will be called out, he will walk in the Safs. And he will see that all are exactly straight in one line. So much so that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned, if we were a little bit too much at the back, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would rub our back. And we can just imagine perhaps some Sahaba, just to get that rubbing off Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perhaps they stood a little to get from Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he puts your hand on you. What a thing it must have been. They say that if we were a little bit too much in front, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would rub his hand, yeah, that go a little bit. And there are so many lessons in every aspect of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are millions of lessons that when you bring deen alive, what love and what kindness. Don't be harsh, don't be rude. So Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to just pat them a little, go a little bit front, or come a little bit back. But, and Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself personally walked in the Safs and made them stay. So how important must this be? That Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it so much importance. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Taswiyat al-Sufuf, the making straight of the Saf, mean Iqamati Salah, is of the perfection of Namaz. Namaz, one or two places Allah told us in the Quran Sharif to perform Namaz. Wasalli li rabbika, and perform your namaz. But in the vast majority of the places in the Quran Majid, Allah Ta'ala says, Aqimi Salah, Aqimu Salah. Iqamati Salah is to make Salah with all its requisites. Not just to make Salah that I made my namaz, but to do it with all its requisites. That is when you have said, when you have now fulfilled the command of Iqamati Salah. So part of Iqamati Salah is that the Saf must be straight. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that when your Saf will not be straight, and when there is ikhtilaf in the Saf, the Saf is not straight, this will result in the ikhtilaf in the community. Then we find there is no unity in that community. Today, anywhere in the world we go, big community, small community, you find too much differences, fighting, infighting. Petty fighting for petty things, too much politics, politics in religion, politics in the masjid today, politics in everyone wants to do his own thing. Where does this start if we go and see? Because we're not standing straight in the Saf. This is the analysis and the diagnosis, not of mine or yours, of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when you don't stand straight on the Saf, you will find your hearts will also have ikhtilaf. Then everyone wants to do his own thing, and everyone wants to make his own party, and everyone what he thinks he wants to, let everyone follow him in that. And today there is wherever we go, unfortunately. And one of the greatest weaknesses of the Ummah today, in my opinion, is our own differences. Otherwise the Ummah is extremely strong. Iman, Islam, Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Ummah has been blessed with. Where can the whole world together, either jinn and man together, they cannot come near this Ummah. But today, our own people sell the Ummah. Our leaders sell our Ummah. The leaders in our Muslim countries, they are selling. And where does that start? We in the masjid, when we don't stand in a straight Saf. So there is also a great Sunnah. And whoever will revive the Sunnah will get the rewards of 100 shaheeds. So like the announcement is made, but how many of us really check, are we standing straight on the Saf? Where we are standing, we just remain there. We don't move from there. We don't check, am I properly on the Saf or not? Am I standing in a straight line? The announcement is made. The Imam has done his duty, and he has done the Sunnah, and he has announced. And yeah, mashallah, even more, it's written here also. But are we checking ourselves individually? That is the most important thing. So let us try and check ourselves every salah. And if somebody from the back pushes us a little front, let us not feel offended. If our heels were a little bit behind the line, and somebody just pushes us a little front, let us not feel offended. Let us accept it, correct ourselves. May Allah give us tawfiq to make amal on this sunnah and every sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The talk that I thought of, the ayat on which I thought of basing my talk, we are in Masjid al-Sabr, so I thought let us speak on Sabr. Okay? And what Sabr is, though that is a separate subject, more I would like to, this ayat which I hear in this Quran, in the Quran Sharif at this instance, just to give a little explanation of it, may Allah make it beneficial for me, for you, for all of us, for the whole ummah, inshallah. Before this ayat, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has in fact explained about tahweel al-qibla. In the beginning, in the second juz, sayyakul al-sufa'u, from there, as Allah has explained, of tahweel al-qibla, the changing of the qibla. That is, first it was towards Baytul Muqaddas. Then Allah commanded that now face Kaaba Sharif. And this was in two complete opposite directions in Medina. Baytul Muqaddas was in the north, the Kaabatul Mukarrama is in the south. And they were performing Namaz Salatul Asr. And they were facing in the north, in the north from Medina Sharif. For our understanding here, they were facing the south here, in that direction. In the Salah, Allah had sent the command, now face the Kaaba. And in Salah, they turned around and they faced the Kaaba. And we have Masjid al-Qiblatain till today. And there, the real lesson is not just to go to the masjid, but is to learn that whatever command of Allah comes, accept that command. And for that, you need a lot of sabr. You have to have control over your desires. That what my forefathers were doing for so many years, today you tell me this is the command of Allah, and now I must turn around, make a U-turn, go in the opposite direction, till you don't have control on your desires, your emotions, you won't be able to do it. So that is sabr that is required. Many things our forefathers, what they were doing, we also doing, we are being told, they were very sincere, they had a lot of love for the deen, but their ilm, their knowledge was a bit limited. So they were not doing many things correct. Now we are told, the ulama, the mashayikh explained to us from the Quran and hadith, but it's hard for us to accept. So we should take a lesson, how they turned in their salah, and they faced in the complete opposite direction. And we all, when we go to Madinatul Munawwara, we go for ziyarah to Masjid al-Qiblatain, it's not only for barakah is there, but it's not only for barakah, it's to take a lesson from there. So that is one. Then we come further in front, just in front of this ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. You remember me, I'm remembering you. In the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, if there was no other benefit, just this, that you are being remembered by your beloved, by Allah, what greater reward. And Allah has promised, when you are remembering me, I am remembering you. And is there, can it be that Allah forgets any of his makhluk? Allah remembers all. That, what does it mean? You remember me, bil ita'ah, in my obedience. And I remember you, wat ikram, I reward you accordingly. So Allah, so but particularly it comes in the hadith of Qudsi, that when a person gathers, remembers Allah Ta'ala, alone, Allah remembers him alone. And when a person remembers Allah in a gathering, Allah remembers him in a gathering much more superior than his gathering. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, in the Sharah, the commentary of Mishkat Sharif, Mirqatul Ulum, Mirqat, he writes in there that whenever a person remembers Allah in a gathering, how we are now, remembering Allah Ta'ala, ayats of the Quran, hadith of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lives of the Sahaba, lives of the pious, anecdotes, the lessons that we learn from their lives, in such a gathering, Allah calls a gathering there by Him. And this gathering is a special gathering. Like we find our Tabligh brothers, sometimes they have a gathering for the old workers. So they say only those who gave 4 months or 40 days, only they must come. Only the old workers. So this ijtima which Allah calls at a time like this is also for very special. Not for everyone is not allowed to come. Inda arwahil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. This ijtima is Allah gathers the arwah of the anbiya and the mursaleen. by them. وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. And the malaika, the angels, the malaika who are muqarrabin. All the malaika are not allowed to come. Only the muqarrabin. In the special gathering, at this moment, our iman is on the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have this yaqeen in our hearts. At this moment, Allah is boasting about us. That yeah, this area's name is?
Parkwood.
Parkwood in Masjid al-Sabr. Allah is taking the name of this masjid and this area. And each one individually, Allah is boasting in front of the malaika. That at such a time, look, my banda, my servants, my ibad have gathered to remember me. Hey, we have this yaqeen. And when we sit with that, in this bayan, in every gathering of dhikr, we will have much more enthusiasm that at this moment, my beloved, one poet says that my zikr is better than me. That I'm here on the earth, my zikr is by the heavens, by the arsh of Allah. Hey, I am here, but when I'm making Allah zikr, my zikr has reached there already. And at this moment, Allah has called that gathering, and Allah is making our zikr. Who are we that Allah Rabbul Izzat makes our zikr? We make His zikr, and this is nasi qat'i, a clear-cut injunction of the Quran. فَذْكُرُونِي, you remember me, أَذْكُرُكُمْ, I'm remembering you. Hey? So this is, but this is not easy to find time to make zikr of Allah. Though it's so simple, so easy, one very strange law is what is very easy has become very difficult for us. And what is very difficult has become easy for us. One example, Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh said on one occasion, explained, to make nikah according to the sunnah pattern, simple, what is nikah? Very simple, a boy wants to get married, he tells his parents, or the parents tell him, you must get married, they decide, this girl will be a good girl, they propose that, those people accept, there and then they make the nikah. Or they were for Jum'ah, Salah, or whenever. And Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, all my children's nikah I made, and I made preparation. But what was it? Immediately I make that nikah. Very simple. For example, he says, nikah is sunnah. We all write also on the wedding cards, and nikah is sunnah. That nikah is of my sunnah. He says, when I make 2 rakats or 4 rakats of sunnah, salah, namaz, then I don't print a wedding card for that. That I'm going to be making 4 rakats of sunnat salat, 2 rakats of sunnat salat, I'm inviting 200 people and I'm giving a feast and a function or something. Or but there are certain preparations. You have to see your tahara, you have to be clean, your place of salah must be clean, you must be facing the qibla, you must have your sitter, your body must be covered. There are certain requirements. He says, so how much is required for that? How much is required for nikah? So much I make, not more than that. So nikah is very sunnah. So Mufti Saab explained this. Then he asked the whole gathering, isn't it easy? All said, very easy. Will you people do it? All said, very difficult. Because in society, your nose will get cut. People will ask you, is this a wedding or is it a kifayat? If you make a nikah today according to sunnah, they will ask you, is this a mayyat or is it a wedding? Because wedding, you have to, all, we know what carries on in all our weddings. So to do the simple, to do the sunnah, which is easy, has become hard for us. And according to our way, people who haven't got money, borrow money on interest in many places. And they sell their goods in order to make that wedding. We will follow the customs of the West. For how long before we make our preparations for our weddings? How many nights, sleepless nights? How difficult, isn't it? But isn't it easy? Everyone, the poorest, is doing it. The person who hasn't got money to put food on his table, he is also doing, when it comes to wedding, what and what isn't he doing, which was so difficult, but that has become easy for us. So, to fadhkuruni adhkurkum, zikr of Allah was very easy, but today we say no time, too busy, no time, all the time busy with what? With this dunya. What way is this dunya going to take us? We're going to leave this dunya behind. And secondly, Allah told after that, washkuru li, and make my shukr, be thankful to me. Wala takfuru, and do not be unthankful. Be thankful to me. Ask ourselves, when are we thankful to Allah Ta'ala? Today complaining is very easy. Anything complaining. One little instance, one sheikh and alim was invited by some friends. So he had his meals. And after the meals, from parda, from a hijab, the house lady, he thanked her. Jazakallah, you prepared so nice. You went out of your way, you prepared. The food was so delicious. You presented it in such a good way. I thank you, I appreciate. Jazakallah, may Allah reward you. May Allah give you Jannah. Whatever few words he said, he left. But the house lady started crying very profusely after he left. Her husband told her, why are you crying? Maulana, Sheikh didn't swear you, he didn't insult you. He praised you, he thanked you, he appreciated. She said, I'm crying. For 40 years I'm cooking for you. Not one day did you tell me Jazakallah. Not one day did you appreciate. But yet, I know how many times you complained. You threw the plate of food at me. That what you call this food. What you call this. You got up and you didn't eat. You hurt my feelings. That you did a lot. But not one day did you appreciate. And Maulana, I only fed him one day. And see how much he appreciated. That is why I'm crying. So anyway, he learned his lesson. The next day they sat down to eat again. And he started again. And going out of his way, Jazakallah, you prepared for me. Your food was so delicious. Everything. Again she started crying very profusely. So he says, now what's the problem? Hey, with our wife, remember it's a no-win situation. But we have to keep on fighting and working till mort. Hey, we have to try and please them. Tell Maud, don't give up ever. It's a no-win situation, but you have to keep on trying to win. So he asked, now what's your problem? She said, for 40 years I'm cooking for you. Not one day did you tell me Jazakallah. Not one day did you appreciate. But today when the neighbor's wife sent the food, now you're going out of your way. Eh? And you are, there's just no end to all your praises and everything. And for 40 years I cooked for you, not one day could you praise me and thank me. So this is our condition. So we should learn to make shukr. And it comes in a hadith sharif, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ. A person who is not thankful to mankind, لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. He will never be able to be thankful to Allah. Today we say, Alhamdulillah, but it's an empty capsule. And that is also valuable. Even in deen, an empty capsule is also valuable. Our deen is so valuable, Allahu Akbar. When we read in the Quran Sharif, Inna Shaitana Lakum Aduwwum Mubin, we're reading Shaitan's name. It has got five alphabets in it, five letters. For each letter, when we're reading Quran, we're getting 10 rewards for each letter when it's Quran. Just like that, we call somebody, you're a Shaitan. Then we will get punished for it. But when we read it in the Quran Sharif, for each letter, so in deen, just empty words also have got value. If we read Inna Qaruna, we read Inna Fir'auna, Wahamana, Waqaruna, we read the words of these kafir, the names, and we're getting rewards from Allah Ta'ala. Because it is Quran, so valuable deen is. In this very ayat where Allah Ta'ala say in another ayat, Ala bi dhikri Allah tatma'innu al-qulub. No, listen, open your ears and listen. And in fact this word Allah, which means open your ears, in Arabic grammar it is called حروف تنبيه, words that drawing your attention, that listen properly what I'm telling you. Don't just be casual, don't listen to it casual. Like sometimes we tell somebody they are busy, listen properly what I'm saying. Open your ears. Give me your attention. Don't just listen, take it by the way. Listen what I'm saying. There are three huruf, three words like this in the Arabic language which are used to draw attention. Ala, Ama, and Ha. These three words. And our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatuh says that listen to this also I'm saying properly. I'm saying Ala, Ama, Ha. If you don't listen properly, you might think I'm saying Yamaha. And you might think Sheikh is advertising some Yamaha scooters or some engines. We are not here to advertise for anyone. Eh? So it's Allah Amaha. So Allah says, Allah bi dhikrillah, by the zikr of Allah. And there's only the word Allah, the reality of Allah, the zat, the being of Allah. To know Allah, to have the marifat of Allah, One is, now lately, about 2-3 weeks ago, we were at one function where some girls had completed Hibzul Quran, and when we were having meals, the news came that one person has passed away. So they were discussing it, and I just couldn't place it, who it is. They say, you know him. I just couldn't place. A Hafiz a Quran, young person in sugar, he was a diabetic, he had an attack. Diabetic attack, he passed away. May Allah give him maghfirat and Jannah. Anyway, after some time, then I placed him, and then my whole attitude changed. First it was just casual. It may be somebody, an acquaintance, friend, but when I came to know, actually, then I got a shock. Oh, it's him. And the whole, then I told them, see, this is ma'rifat. Like that we all know Allah, the name Allah. But the day we'll know Allah, there will be a great difference. The day I'm engaged to get married to Fatima, Fatima was just a name for me till that day. Khadija, Zulikha, Amina, any name was just a name. But the day I got in, now Fatima is a different Fatima. And the day I'll take delivery of my parcel, and I'll come and explore my parcel, then my Fatima is a complete different woman. Then it's not just the name Fatima. Now it's a complete different thing. So Allah, Rabbul Izzat also, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, great pious wali, saint of Allah, who was in Makkah Sharif, passed away there. He says, Tere manne wale puri dunya, the whole world believes in you, O Allah. But tere janne wale koi nahi magar do char. But those who know you, hardly anyone. Who know you? 2 or 3 people. A few people know you, Ya Allah. So marifat is a different thing. So just the name of Allah, that also is an empty capsule, but it's extremely valuable. And if that capsule is full of medicine, then how much value has it got? So the name of Allah, when it is taken, a person like this says Allah, but he doesn't know who is Allah. And one, when you say Allah, and you know, my Allah is the most powerful. There's no, all the power in the world is nothing, matchless. It's not one drop in front of my Allah. When I say Allah, and I know He is Arhamur Rahimeen, He is mercy, all the mothers of the world together, and all the fathers in the world together can't show one bit of that mercy which my Allah shows. When I say Allah, and I know my Allah is Kamil, is most perfect. That how He has created the entire universe. Anything the scientists study today, people who study the stars, people who study anything, insects, how they function, how they operate, you can only come to one conclusion, Allahu Akbar. Allah, how did you make this? How perfect doesn't it fit in? If you just study your heart, I had to go for a checkup and the doctor showed me on the screen, the sauna, how the heart is pumping. How one valve opens and how precisely to a split second of a hundredth of a second the other valve opens, close. And all the time you're sleeping, it's working. You're under pressure, you run a marathon. Under what pressure are you? That heart is functioning like that. You are at ease, comfort, the heart, you don't even know. You're not even working. Your heart is functioning all the time. How Allah is. And not only this one, Allahu Akbar, billions of Allahs. Creation, how perfect. So when you know Allah and then you say Allah, that Allah is completely different from when you say Allah and you don't know Allah. You believe in Him, you accept Him, and that is also extreme. You're going to get Jannat for that also. But when you know Him, your Jannat is here already. When you know Allah, and the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. A person who made once khawf of Allah, he feared Allah, for him are 2 jannats. And Al-Shaykh Allama Alusi, Mufti of Baghdad, the Mufti of Baghdad, Allama Alusi, in his international famous Arabic tafsir, Ruh al-Ma'ani, say, gives 10 tafsirs of what 2 jannats are. At the end of these 10 tafsirs, he says, قَالَ صُفِيَّ فِي تَفْسِيرِ عَافِ الْآيَةِ. The last tafsir is his most beloved and accepted tafsir, which is the tafsir of the Sufis. He says, Jannatun fi dunya, one jannat is here already. Bi huzuri al mawla, just when you think of your mawla, when you think of my Allah, that is already you in jannat. Wa jannatun fil uqba, and another jannah in the akhirah, bi liqai al mawla, when you'll meet your Mawla, when you'll meet your Allah. When a boy is engaged to a girl, his mother says, go and give this, for this parcel to Auntie Fatima. Now he's just two doors away, but he takes a whole long round and he comes. Why? مروا على ديار الليل وقبلوا ذا الجدار وذا الجدار. Majnu said that I passed by the streets of Layla and I kissed this wall and I kissed that wall. What has he got to do with the walls and the doors? But because Layla lives in that street, that is why that street, everything has become valuable. He passes that long way because where he's engaged, that they live on that road. He's not going to see her, but he just gets so much happy just passing that house. And then he goes and delivers, he comes right round, then he delivers his parcel. So when a person has just met Allah, then what is that condition? And the day you meet Allah in the Akhirah, what will be that enjoyment? So that is that Jannah of Akhirah. Anyway, to develop this was not easy. So Allah made it easy for us, and Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu. You want to develop these qualities? Seek the help of Allah. Without Allah's help, you won't be able to do a thing in this dunya. You can't get up from your bed in the morning. You can't open your eyes without the help of Allah. At night to sleep, you can't close your eyes without the help of Allah. If Allah does not want to give you sleep, you can be exhausted, but sleep won't come to you. If Allah gives you worries, middle of the night your eyes will open and you won't know what is going to happen to me. When that worry will come. And when Allah wants to give you sleep, He gives the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu sleep right in the middle of the battlefield. And He gives them, is yughashikumu nu'as. When sleep overtook them, and nu'as, not only a light sleep, deep sleep they fell. And after a deep sleep, a person is revitalized. He feels fresh again. Allah, who gives that sleep? Allah ta'ala. Nobody else besides Allah. So seek the help of Allah Ta'ala. Allah has told us how to seek His help. Bis-sabr. One is what? Sabr. This is asbab. And the other, salah. What? Namaz. Two things by which you seek help. So to acquire that previous things, you're going to need the help of Allah. And seek the help of Allah with sabr and with salah. And the things which are going to come in front, that also to seek Allah's help with sabr and with salah. If, for example, somebody comes and tell all, see, outside, all of you going on this road, there are cops standing, there are traffic cops, and they are for speeding, they are there. So everyone, now we are informed before time, so everyone is going to drive very carefully. Or there are cops there, and they are watching seat belts, indicators, whether you're stopping at the stop street. So everyone will be the best driver that day. How he'll slow down and stop properly. And he won't just make a comma there, but he'll make a big full stop. Stop very properly there, because the cops are, he knows of it before time. So Allah knows what conditions are going to come in your life. So Allah has prepared us before time. Be ready for all these conditions. And how are you going to be ready? Only with Allah's help. And Allah's help, as far as sabab and asbab are concerned in this dunya, Allah has informed us, acquire two things. Acquire sabr and acquire salat. Now when I speak of it and I fool myself, I think I gave a lecture on sabr and salat, so I've got it. I'm fooling myself. It's just by talking of it, if I had to give a talk on business today, how to become a millionaire, and all those talks are just all in the air. How to become a millionaire, all those talks are in the air. Because if that person himself knew how to become a millionaire, he shouldn't tell other people. He should go and become a millionaire himself. If there was wujud, if there was substance in his talk, he should go and become a millionaire. Today a doctor gives all how to save yourself from smoking, but he's smoking himself. If there was substance in that talk of his, he should have applied it to himself first. So just a talk is a talk. The reality is something else. And if we listen to the talk today, and we thought, oh, today we listen to a talk of sabr and salat, and we think we've got it, we are also fooling ourselves. There's an effort behind it. If I put an advert, if I'm running a little shop on the street, just that little stall of mine, just selling some oranges and grapes, and I put there on top, the biggest store of Africa. By putting that board, it doesn't become the biggest shop and I'm the biggest businessman in Africa. لِكُلِّ قَوْلٍ حَقِيقَةٍ. Whatever you say, there is a reality behind it. You have to back it up. If somebody comes here and he applies for the job here to become an imam, then he'll have to back up. Any person can't just come. He'll have to, where did you study? Where are your certificates? How lot of experience have you got? You have to back up everything. So just the word sabr and the word salat are not enough. You have to have the reality, the essence of it. And for this is an effort also. As for everything else, there is an effort. If you are diagnosed by the doctor as a diabetic, and the doctor prescribes some medicine for you, the name of the medicine is not enough. If some person heard that by the atom bomb, so many millions of people can be killed at one time. So he says that this is very good. And atom bomb, and he heard the lecture, and he only thought it's the words. And he reads a tasbih, not of 100 beads, of 1,000,000 beads, atom bomb, atom bomb, atom bomb. And he says that, Maulana, Sheikh, you told that so many millions of people will die with the atom bomb. Yeah, one fly doesn't want to die. This fly that is troubling me, flying in my nose, in my ear, irritating me so badly, just when I'm about to fall asleep, it comes and troubles me, and I'm reading all the time tasbih, atom bomb, atom bomb. That fly won't die with your tasbih. There is a reality behind atom bomb. It's not just the words of it. Like that, behind sabr and behind salat, there is a reality. We have to acquire that. When we acquire that, then we'll have that we'll have the power, and we'll have the ammunition, and we'll have the defense, and we'll have the guns which Allah is saying we must have. Then whatever halat and condition are going to come, like if you are told there's a speed trap, the speed trap is there, the cops are standing, the whole contingent of police came, 200 people, but you are prepared, you pass through, you got no problem. Even if they stop you, driver's license, you present it. Check up your roadworthy of your car is roadworthy, you got no problem. The test is there, but you pass the test, because you were prepared. If we are prepared with the halat and conditions which Allah has mentioned in the ayats which are coming, if you, and everyone in the Hadith Sharif it comes, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew a sketch in the Qabristan, in the Qubur, when one person was being buried, and he drew there a rectangle, a square, and in the middle he drew one line. He said, this is your life in dunya, you are walking, you are going through. You entered this side by your birth and you are going out with your death. And on the side of that line, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew many lines, this side, bottom of the line, and on the top of the line. And he says, these are all the halat, all the conditions which you're going to face in this dunya. You miss one, you get another one. You miss one, you can't escape them. All the time, every person. One young girl, she complained to her father, who was a sheikh, that my father, that I just hardly finish one problem in my life, there is another problem. I hardly finish that problem, there is another problem. And all of us face this all the time. Whether it's in our business, whether it's in our personal life, all the time we are facing problems. This is nature, this is dunya. This is not jannah, it's going to happen. So the father told her, come with me, my darling, my daughter, and he took her to the kitchen. And he put the stove on, and he brought the plates to the full, the highest, made them red hot. And he put pots on the 3 plates. In the one, he put carrots into the pot, when the water was so hot. In the other one, he put an egg in it. And in the third one, he put coffee beans. So the daughter wondered, I'm complaining to my father of all conditions that I'm having problems, and he puts this on the stove here. So father said, I'll explain to you just now. After half an hour, he took it all off the stove. He asked her, now check the carrots, what do you see? Yeah, she said, they had gone very soft. Carrots were very hard, but now they became very soft. The egg had a very delicate covering. If you just broke a little, the whole egg, everything would spill. But now the inside became solid, rock hard, rock busters, half an hour in the water. And the third, those coffee beans, now the true essence of the coffee came out. So then the father explained, my beloved daughter, halat and conditions, ahwal, will come to everyone. These 3 things went through conditions of what extreme heat the water. It went through all of that. Then see, it everyone changed. The hard carrot became very soft. The egg that was very delicate, the shell, but it became very, very hard. And the coffee beans, their maximum value came out when they were under so much pressure. So then he explained, we are all going under pressure in this dunya. Conditions will come to us from Allah Ta'ala's side. A sheikh will put his murid, will put his disciple under conditions so that the true value comes out from them. We get frightened for conditions, but conditions bring out the true value. Many people, when conditions come upon them, they become hardened, they become matured and solid like the carrot. Some become very soft. Now you see humility. Some people were very arrogant and proudful, always taking off with people. But when conditions came on them, you see them becoming now soft and humble. Some people, they were very delicate, nazuk, especially women. A little bit, and you just see they can't take that condition. And they don't know what is happening. And here there is another point. Women, we see that they snap very easily also. That just suddenly you just see them going into a mood. And into a tangent they go. They're just gone. One reason for that is, that's a whole full discussion. But one condition is, there is a study on the color, what color has an effect on people. Chromology or something like that. It's a science of its own. And in there they have found that women who wear this bright color cutex, nail polish, bright colors, that is a cause why they snap so much. Therefore, in our deen, color has also a great importance. The color of clothes for men. Our kafan must be white. It's not must be, but it is, we all give kafan in white clothes. White has got an effect. We are told to, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved white very much. For men, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just liked the red color very much. All these things have got an effect on a person. Sounds have got an effect on a person, and we all know it. Some sounds irritate you. And why does everyone say, when I hear the chirping of the birds, I feel so soothed? That sound, which is the zikr of Allah. When you hear the sound of water from a fountain, from a waterfall, the river, then why does it soothe you so much? Sounds soothe a person. So sounds have got an effect. One doctor in Holland, a non-Muslim doctor, nothing he knows about Islam, no contact with Islam, and he's a neurologist treating brain patients. On that I remember one little incident, that one also neurologist treating his brain patients, his mental patients. So they progressed quite a bit, so he wanted to test them that how much progress has been done. So he took them for swimming. They swam, one of them almost drowned, another one saved him. So he was very happy, my treatment is working. That this person has become mentally so stable, he even understood, and he saved this drowning person. So he was very happy. But the next day, he had a great relapse. That he found one of his patients was somebody hung him by the ceiling. He hung him up, he died. So he was very worried. Yesterday there was so much progress, today everything has fallen back. And he's asking them all, mad people, what answer they're going to give? He's not getting a proper answer. Then it occurred, that one who saved this other person, he'll be able to know. Because he's now alright. So he went and asked him. Doctor, you forgot. He said, what? He said, yesterday he was drowning. He said, yeah, I saved him, yeah. So I hung him up to dry him out. So that is the condition of these mad people. So that is what they do. So anyway, this neurologist in Holland, what he said that he worked on what effect sounds have got on a person. And for his mental patients, without knowing about Islam, about deen, about the name of Allah, anything, just from the what effect sounds have got, he made up this word, Allah. And he found that the sounds alif, lam, and in this way, Allah, it has a great soothing effect on his patients. And he gave his patients to read, Allah, 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 and they started getting better. Mental patients got better just by the name of Allah. So people who have got spiritual conditions, people who have got emotional conditions, people who are suffering from depression, how can, and not the empty word Allah, but a Muslim, a mu'min take Allah's name, knowing he's going to get reward, knowing he's being remembered by Allah. And when he knows, if he has gone through a cause, to know who Allah is, then that Allah of his Allahu Akbar. What effect won't it have? In the Quran Sharif Allah says, وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَذْكُرْ, what we call zikr, the literal meaning, tafsir of zikr is repeat. Repeat. What must you repeat? Isme Rabbik, the name of your Rabb. And what is the name of your Rabb? Allah. So clearly from the Quran, Allah has given the command, repeat, Allah, 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 with love, and knowing who Allah is, and see what effect it has got on a person. So Allah has given this command. On what did I start this? Anyway, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ista'inu. So for conditions that are going to come in your life, with two things you must now find your protection, your defense. Like if we know they are dangerous times, flu, what the doctor say? You must take an injection. How true that is, that's a different story. But they say this year's winter, the flu is going to be very bad. You must take your injection in order to save yourself. Or anywhere else, we say, you're going there very cold, take warm clothing. You're going there, it's very hot, take light clothing. You prepared yourself. If you prepare yourself, you go through safety. Allah said conditions are going to come in your life. So for that, be prepared. And what must you be prepared? Take the help of Allah. Without the help of Allah, you won't. And how are you going to take the help of Allah? With sabr and with salat. And these are not just the words, get the reality. And that is what is called the effort of tasawwuf and islah. That yeah is the department where not only the name of these things, but where you make an effort to acquire the haqiqat, the reality of these things. And then Allah says, Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah is with those people who make sabr. If Allah's power is with you, what more you want? Whatever conditions come, and if Allah is with you, Allah is on your side. What? But you must have sabr. Allah is with sabirin, not with the name of sabr. Not with those people who claim themselves, I say I'm a millionaire. And what proof you got? You're a millionaire? No proof, but that is not enough. Just to say I'm amongst the sabirin, how many people say, ladies commonly, they say, how much sabr must we make? Sabr? Do we know what is sabr? Make sabr and then Allah is with you. See the help of Allah that will come. Then Allah Ta'ala, to make it short now, time is going so fast. Cape Town to watch us work quite overtime, they will double the speed. Just to make it short, the next Allah said, one condition which you will bring upon yourself, for that you need lot of sabr, and that is jihad. And in jihad, you're going to become paralyzed. You will lose an arm, you will lose an eye. You will lose a life also. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Then Allah explains of the amwat, the shuhada, and their position. For that you need sabr. If you haven't got sabr, you won't be able to think of the name jihad. You'll be frightened. You'll back out from jihad because you can't make sabr. Jihad, part and parcel, there are strings attached to everything. You have to be repaired. It's not you just going in jihad and you're going to get victory. There are going to be a lot of things in jihad. You're going to lose your dear ones. You're going to lose your special ones. You're going to lose a limb. You're going to be paralyzed for life. All those things are part and parcel. You can't think of it without sabr. The next thing that, then there are other things which are not of your choice. Jihad of your choice, you will go for jihad. But there are things which are not of your choice, and those conditions are going to come. Allah has said they will come. Alif Lam Mim. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Allah says that what do the people think? That they'll say we brought iman and we won't test them? No, definitely we will test them. And various tests will come. Ya Allah means a few. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. And definitely, noon mushaddad thaqila. Definitely, 100% we will test all of you. Everyone will go through tests. You'll have to pass the test. You want your driver's license? You get a backdoor license, it's not right. You have to go through the test and get your license. You want a certificate and you bribe and get your certificate, it's not right. And by Allah, there is no bribery and no backdoor. Yeah, in dunya you can still do backdoor business and do bribery and all that. But by Allah there isn't. You'll have to pass the test. So, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. Allahu Akbar. Allah says that just shay'in, not big things we're going to test you. Your test is going to be very small. Just small little test we will put, but you will be tested. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. What will you be tested? مِنْ الْخَوْفِ, of fear. Fear, a person always goes. Crime rate is so high. Today, somebody else get a heart attack, you go for a checkup. The doctor just checked me up, my cholesterol is not too high, my arteries are not blocked. Somebody else got a heart attack and you getting frightened. Everything, somebody else get cancer and you frightened, yeah. We hear about some crime incident somewhere else, when we went by another lock for our door. Everyone, fear today has gripped the world today. So khawf. And Allah said, be shay'in min al khawf. What will be the khawf of the qabr? Allahu Akbar, Allah keep us mahfuz. What will be the khawf on the day of qiyamah? Allahu Akbar. We cannot imagine the starting of the day of qiyamah. Every person will be without clothes. Hazrat Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when man and woman are together, like in the tawaf, how man and woman are together, and in front of Allah, and nobody without clothes, how can it be? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Aisha, what is worrying you? That everyone will be looking at one another, their thought won't go in the least, but in that direction. The severity of the day will be so great, nobody will even look at any other person. So what will be that khawf? Yeah, in this dunya, small khawf, bishayin min al khawf, wal ju'a, and fear of poverty, hunger. Everyone is afraid. This shop of mine closed down, what will happen? If my shop burns down, what will happen? My shop, if I lose my job, if I don't make happy my superiors, if I don't, I know my friends in the job, they are stealing also. But if I go and talk about it, they put some blame on me, I'll lose my job. Let me rather keep quiet about this. Everywhere, people are afraid. I mustn't lose my job, my shop, my income. That hunger, poverty, everyone is afraid. So that also Allah says is going to come in your life. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. And diminish your wealth is diminishing. That also a person cannot take. Not that he loses everything. A businessman who made, for example, 20,000 rand profit this year in his business. The next year again he makes 20,000. He's catching his head. Oh, what a big loss. So his friend, the accountant said, but you made a profit. He was expecting now 200,000 this year. When he just made the same amount, not less also, not less, profit he has made. But he's not happy. He wants more. So that the fear that my wealth, my things will diminish. وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ. And every time you are fearing, you send your beloved little grandchild just to go to the corner shop, to the cafe, and you are afraid that the car mustn't bump my child. Somebody mustn't kidnap my child. Somebody, this mustn't happen. You are afraid all the time. All the time. Whoever, somebody is going for Hajj on any journey, suffer, going for a picnic, may Allah take you safely. May Allah bring you safely. أستودع الله دينكم وأماناتكم وخواتم أعمالكم. Fear all the time that anyone in the family, there is an occasion of childbirth, my wife is going to give birth, how happy. The grandparents are happy, but at the same time, they've got fear also, something mustn't go wrong. How many women pass away in childbirth? Something mustn't go wrong, we don't know what can happen. My daughter is getting married, I'm so happy, but at the same time also afraid that till today how I protected her, but today she's in another man's hands. I don't know if he's going to look after her. If he were today, my daughter, whatever she wanted, she hardly had to drop one ear drop, she hardly had to cry, and I would bring it and give it to her, make her happy. But maybe her husband makes her cry the whole night, I don't know. We are afraid all the time. وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ. Your wealth also will be dropped. وَالْأَنْفُسِ, people also. وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, fruit and results of things. My crop, my was ready on the farm. Tomorrow I thought I'll go and pick it. At night a fire came. Or a hailstorm came. Destroyed all my crops. My goods were ready. I produced them in my factory. I had orders also. The trucks were loaded also. And somebody came and hijacked all the trucks. Where I was thinking, I was working out in my mind, on my paper, 2 million rand profit here. And suddenly everything is gone. how many cases we hear, that my business, end of the month, I'm going to make lot of business, may Allah protect us all. Two big businesses, Muslim people's businesses in Natal, burnt down. 50 million rand gone. You just see it going in front of your eyes in a couple of hours. Nothing you can do about it. You have to save your own life. You can't go in there. What can you do? It's just gone. So Allah says this test will come. وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. But all the test, whatever it is, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give good news to those who develop through sabr. They will go through all this. It won't affect them. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was a very big businessman also. On one occasion, somebody informed him that 40 of your ships, not containers. Today we order one container. And I'm a very big businessman. Hong Kong, my one container is coming. 40 ships, not 40 containers. They said your 40 ships of goods that were coming, but they were all, those ships sunk and all your goods are destroyed. So he just looked down and he said, Alhamdulillah. After some time, they reported that was wrong information. All your ships have arrived safely. The goods have come safely. Again, he looked down. Alhamdulillah. They say that, Imam, what is this? When the bad news came, Alhamdulillah. Good news came, Alhamdulillah. He says, that was outside. I looked at the condition of my heart. And my happy with my Allah, what conditions has He sent to me? I was happy that Allah, my 40 ships are gone. No problem. Alhamdulillah, my heart, my iman is intact. I'm still, hal anta radin bi rabbi. Nabi sallallahu Allah ta'ala asked Hazrat Abu Bakr on one condition. When he gave everything in the path of Allah, he swept his house clean, not one thing left. His buttons he didn't have, he used thorns to fasten buttons. He didn't have a kurta to wear, just one sheet. And that sheet also, to keep it together, he used thorns to fasten it. Then Allah asked, in this condition, oh Abu Bakr, hal anta radin bi rabbika? Are you happy with your Allah? He says, how can't I be happy? And he says, my Allah asked if I'm happy. Allahu Akbar. My Allah inquired about me. That has made my happiness millionfold more. That my Allah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has sent salams for you, Abu Bakr. And in your honor today, Allah has commanded all the malaika in the heavens, they must dress like you. When somebody dresses like you, they love you so much, they dress like you. How? So happy Allah Ta'ala was. So this is that when these conditions come, are you still happy with Allah Ta'ala? Are you still accepted? And this can only come if we got the haqiqat of sabr. Then you can accept it. And for sabr, effort is required to bring it. To make our salat, Allahu Akbar. When the wind would just blow a little strong, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would rush to the masjid and make salat. When Ibrahim Alayhi Salatu Wasalam's wife, Hadrat Sarah, was caught by the king and he had very bad intentions about her. He didn't run to any court. He didn't run to anyone. He ran to the highest court. He went to Namas Salat. And Allah released his wife from there. Jurayj, rahmatullah alayhi, a very pious person in the Bani Israel. His people accused him of committing adultery. He had his khanqa, making the zikr ibadat. And they said, you making yourself look so pious. In the meantime, you have committed adultery here. He went, resorted to salat. And then Allah cleared his name and proved his innocence to such a way, they broke down his whole khanqa, his zawiya. And then they said, oh Jurayj, we will build it of gold for you again. He says, I don't need a golden khanqa. You just build my mud and clay khanqa again. He went to salat. Allah Ta'ala cleared his name completely and it was proven he had absolutely nothing to do with that. So this is what salat will do. But the reality of salat. Today we are in the masjid, but our hearts are in our business. We are in the haram of Mecca, we are making salat there, but our mind is in soccer matches. Our mind is in cricket results. We are in Medina Park. Right in Medina Sharif, we are worried of the politics of dunya. We are worried of what the cricket score is, who won and who lost. This is not salat, the reality of namaz. So anyway, Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Who are the sabirin? One of the qualities, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبًا. Whenever a test will come to them, then what will they say? قَالُوا. They say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. These are those words that exclusively have been given to this ummah. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that even if a mosquito bites you, it's a musibah. Do we read inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un? Even if a thorn pricks you, it's a musibah. Do we read inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un? The only time we read, perhaps, when we hear somebody has passed away. And those also perhaps are just empty words. The reality of inna lillah, which was an exclusive, if it was given to the previous ummah, when Yaqub alayhi salam lost his son Yusuf alayhi salam, for about 30 years or so, all he said, Ya Asafa ala Yusuf. Oh, what a pity I lost my Yusuf. If he had the words inna lillah, he would have read it. He did not have it. The Nabi of the previous ummah did not have it. The ummati of this ummah has got this formula. When we know some formula of the computer, we know some other formula, if we know the formula of how to make sand into gold, what will that person think? Allah gave us such a formula, but who of us uses that formula? We are given the formula, inna lillah. Very briefly, there is also a complete bayan on its own, inna lillahi. But very briefly, the first part of this, inna lillahi, is a mental attitude, that we belong to Allah. It is not Allahu Akbar. Not that Allah is our boss. What is a boss? A boss is nothing. A person who works for the boss, if the boss tells him, end of the month, I'm not paying you, he takes him to the labor court. Because the boss can't do that. He has to pay him. What is a boss? Who is Allah? Who owns you totally? That you have no say by Allah. He controls you. Today we carry on as if we are the bosses of our wives. More than that, we carry on as if we are the gods of our wives. Just because we married them, we pay their mahar, and we think we own them, and we can treat them as we want to. We can physically abuse them, we can verbally abuse them. We treat them in that they are human beings. And they are the ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She is an entity and she's got her rights of her own. We have no rights just to go on abusing them. Our workers, just because we are paying them, perhaps we even underpaying them. Perhaps we overworking them. But for any small thing, we just start swearing. And we want to chase them away. And we want to... Who has given us these rights? We belong totally to Allah tabaraka ta'ala. Hazrat... I'll remember the name just now. Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi. What a great buzurg saint. He bought a slave. He took the slave home. He asked the slave, what will you eat? The slave said, what choice have I got? What my master gives me to eat, I will eat. What will you wear? What choice have I got? In detail, everything, what my master gives me. He told him, go, I set you free in the name of Allah. You have taught me how to be a slave to my master. That is what is a master. So if we know we belong to Allah, then whatever musibat comes, it won't be a musibat. Because Allah has sent it. One buzurg says, a pious person, mutma'in baithe ya Rabb. Oh Allah, we are sitting very contented. Ke tu hakim bihe, you are the sole governor and controller of all conditions. And whatever conditions come to me, they come from you. A leaf cannot move without the will of Allah. Petrol price can't go up or down. Dollar price can't go up or down without the will of Allah. All conditions that are on me, no matter what conditions, they are from you. You the governor. To hakim bihe, hakim bihe. And you are the most wise also. No conditions you send that are just useless or that are against me. Every condition is for my benefit. One great alim became bi'at to Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi. He stayed in the Khanqa, and after just a few days, a letter came. Lot of problems at home. Financial problems. All are sick, and this problem. Lot of problems. So he told his Shaykh Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi. So Maulana told him, he was a person who knew a lot of mantiq, that is logic. He was a very logical person. His mind worked very logically. So Maulana told him, Jab hamara iman muqaddar par hai. When our iman is on taqdeer, muqaddar, then to muqaddar hone ki kya zarurat hai? Then why are you upset? Muqaddar, small car, kudurat, to be upset, to be hurt. When we know everything is happening from Allah, then why are you hurt? It's from Allah. And Allah knows what He said. Then Maulana explained to him, see Alex, your mind works logically, I'll explain to you in a logical way. That see, that all conditions that come upon us, we have our iman, it is from Allah Ta'ala. There is no other source. Our iman is that we say آمنتُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Whatever comes to us, good and bad conditions, are all from Allah Ta'ala. So all conditions are from Allah. So he says these conditions, there are only four forms of them. One form is that 100% it is Allah's benefit and no benefit for the person on whose the condition came. What is Allah going to get benefit? He gave you heart attack, you got cancer, you came in a motor car accident, you got shot in some crime incident. Allah, those conditions are by the will of Allah. So what is Allah benefiting from it? That's impossible. There's no benefit for us, 100% Allah's benefits. That's impossible. The next he said that it may be 50-50. 50% your benefit and 50% Allah's benefit. That's also impossible. What does Allah benefit? The third form of it is no benefit for no one. Not for Allah no benefit and for you also no benefit. That's also impossible. فَعْلُ الْحَكِيمِ لَا يَخْلُوا عَنِ الْحِكْمَةِ. Then there is one fourth condition that 100% it is our benefit, and that is the true thing. Whatever conditions come, good or bad, they are 100% for our benefit. One king, he used to like going hunting. And he had a minister of his who was in the habit of saying, so hua, so achha, jo hua, so achha hua. Whatever happened, very good it happened. So just as the king started his journey of hunting, the king hurt his thumb and it got cut. And we know just when we get a pain, on a cold winter days when our feet are cold and somebody traps our toes, at that time how it pains. So just at that time when the pain was there, and this minister had a habit. So what Allah did, very good Allah did. So the king became very angry. I'm suffering in this pain, and you say very good. And king's minds work in their way. So he ordered he must be thrown in jail for 3 days. Why did he say this to me? So anyway, the king carried on with his journey. He came to a place where there were cannibals, man-eaters. They caught hold of the king. And they wanted to eat him, because they eat human beings. So when they also had some rules like we got for Qurbani animals at the time of Dhuha, where Eid al-Dhuha, and when we slaughter animals. So they also checked him up. So he had the skatya. So they say he's not fit for Qurbani. We can't eat him. So they let him go. So then he realized that what that minister said, so jo Allah karta hai, so achha karta hai. Whatever Allah does, I got a small cut, and in return my whole life got saved. If I didn't have any fault on my body, no cut, no wound, no bruise, they should have eaten me up. And when he threw that minister in jail, that minister at that time also said, "Jo Allah karta hai, so achha karta hai. What Allah does, he does good. I'm gone to jail for 3 days, very good." So the king came back, and with great pomp and respect and honor, he took him out of jail. That I realize now what you told, that my small cut saved my life. Otherwise they should have eaten me up. But when I send you to jail, what was the good of you going to jail for 3 days? He says, King Badshah Salamat, you know that I never separate from you. I'm always with you. When they caught you, they should have caught me also. You should have got saved because you had a cut here. I had no fault on my body. They should have eaten me up. I stayed 3 days in jail, my life got saved. So whatever Allah does, we can't see it, but it's good. And the Quran Sharif, the story of Musa alayhi salam and Khadir alayhi salam, when the three incidents happened, outwardly Musa alayhi salam, a great Nabi, couldn't understand that why Khadir alayhi salam is doing these things. Afterwards he saw that outward it was those things, but how that good. The first incident where they boarded a ship, and Khadir alayhi salam went, a brand new ship of poor orphans. They clubbed together, they bought the ship, and they should transport goods, ferry goods, passengers. They were making their living like that. And when they saw these pious people, Musa alayhi salam, great buzur, Khazir, free of charge they put them on the ship. We won't charge you. And what Khazir alayhi salam, first thing he went and do, he damaged the ship. He took out one plank. So he said, what are you doing here? Story is long. Second, a small boy was playing, handsome, beautiful, the apple of the eye of his parents. Khazir alayhi salam went and wringed his neck and killed him. What is this murder like this? The third, that's when they went through a town, and those people didn't entertain them. They didn't even ask them for food. Even they wanted to buy, they were not prepared to sell. There one wall was falling down, he went and fixed up the wall. Now, yeah, opposite. When people were good to you, you went and do bad to them. Yeah, they are bad to you, you went and do good to them. Then he explained, it's a very interesting, it's also great lessons for us. Stay with the ulama, learn Quran Sharif, tafsir of the Quran, mashallah. Yeah, you have your mashayikh, there's effort in this masjid. How many programs, bayans are taking place here? Take part, listen, learn from this. What haven't we got in our deen? Wallah, what can the dunya with the computers and fax machines and cell phones offer? See what our Quran has to offer. See what the hadith has to offer. Anyway, then Khazir alayhi salam explained, the ship was passing where one king was. And any good ship he finds no fault in it, he takes control, he seizes it. By making a fault, he passed it, let it go past. It's alright. Unroadworthy, you carry on. If you are roadworthy, you mind. So you carry on seaworthy. The second, that boy, he was a great danger, a fitna for his parents. They were in the east, love, they were going to lose their iman. So we took his life away. He's also gone to Jannat, and he'll take his parents to Jannat also. And we'll replace the child. Allah will give another better child in place of that. The third, that wall that was falling down, the inheritance of two orphan children who were still very small, the father buried it under that wall. And if it were the wall had fallen down, that money would have been exposed, other people would have taken it away. We put up the wall again, which will fall down when the children will be of age. And they will be able to claim their inheritance. So we can't see how Allah is working. But whatever conditions come, they come from Allah. And that person will benefit double the amount when he makes sabah. So who says, Inna lillah, it's from Allah. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and that person who knows that we are going to return to Allah Ta'ala again. And by Allah we're going to get the reward of our sabr also. And what is this dunya? Allah takes something, Allah never takes it away without paying for it. It comes in the hadith sharif, when somebody, your very dear one has been taken away, Allah says to the farishta, you took the apple of his heart, you took his heart away. Farishta say, yes. Allah says, what I'm going to give to him in return will be much more greater. So those whose eyes are on the akhirah, not on the temporary short life of this dunya, on the eternal life of the akhirah, they know we're going to get our rewards. They wa'inna ilayhi raji'un, all our rewards we are going to get there. And then what is on this? Ulaika alayhim salawatum min rabbihim. For this people are salawat. We know for who is salawat? For the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Alayhimu salawatu wassalam. Alayhimu salatu wassalam. Salawat is a special mercy of Allah Ta'ala, which is not for the ordinary mu'mineen even. Which is not even for the muqarrabeen. For who is it? For the sabirin. For that which Allah gives to the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, Allah blesses the sabirin. Ulaikum salawatum min rabbihim wa rahmah. And what is the general rahmat? That also they will get. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains this ayat, that you've got your camel, this side also you've got a load of goods, this side also you've got a load of goods. Salawat alim, salawatum min rabbim, wa rahma. Plus you've got a trailer full of goods at the back. Wa ulaika humul muhtadun. These are the people of hidayat. And you went to your bank or to your very rich uncle, I want to start a business. He didn't only give you capital. He gave you capital, he gave you goods, and he gave you all the know-how, context also he gave you. You only went for capital. He gave you three things. You only did one thing for Allah, you made sabr. Allah blessed you with three ni'mat. Ulaika alayhim salawatum min rabbihim wa rahma wa ulaika humul muhtadun. Allah say, these are those who have got hidayat. Rahmat from Allah, salawat from Allah, and hidayat you have got. All on what? On sabr and salat. Coming again now to the starting, and we end with the starting, make effort to acquire the reality of sabr and of salat, of namaz. Whatever conditions will come in this world, you'll pass through them with flying colors. And you're going to get a much more greater in the year after. Otherwise, we know good Muslim people going mad when conditions come, committing suicide when conditions come, killing the family, killing themselves when these conditions come. We can't take pressure. Take the pressure and let the best of us come out. So let us see, are we carrots, are we eggs, are we coffee beans? When this hot pressure comes upon us, do we become soft and melt down? Do we become strong like the egg? And does the best of us come out like the coffee bean? What are we? Are we carrots, are we coffee beans, or are we eggs? Conditions are going to come. If we prepared ourselves, the best will come out of us. And we will be able to be, we can show softness at those times. and reason it's gone too far over the time, but what were incidents of the aslaf, of the pious people, when conditions came, how they faced adversities, and what the results were. And this can be ours also. There is a very great lesson of the Quran Sharif. May Allah make it a reality for me and for all of us, and for that a definite effort is required. Many times our mashayikh come, and the reason of becoming ba'at with a shaykh and to make our islah is to develop this, so that when these conditions come, we pass through it, we don't feel it, nothing, we just go through it so normally, and we accept it so wholeheartedly, and we don't have any adverse effects on our health, on our relations, everything goes normally, and we pass through this test with flying colors. May Allah make it easy for us all. May Allah reward Shaykh and the committee of this masjid for giving us this opportunity, and for which we are not worth, and to all of you for lending us our ears these cold winter nights, and you are sitting up here, but also remember Allah is also remembering us, and what that Allah is called an ijtima, and Allah is boasting about us. So let us always try and take part in such gatherings, inshallah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'u al-alim wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Oh Allah, bless us with the great, great treasures and qualities of salah and of sabr, oh Allah. Make us of those who are musallis in the true sense of the word, oh Allah. Grant us iqamati salah, oh Allah. Grant us sabr. Make us amongst the sabireen, oh Allah. Oh Allah, grant us every type of sabr. Sabr to stay away from sin, oh Allah. Sabr to fulfill every command of yours. And on difficulties, grant us also the ability to make sabr, O Allah. O Allah, save us from halat, ahwal, and conditions, O Allah. And when they come, let us face them properly and pass them with distinctions and with flying colors, O Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.